This morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Kings. Our series, Minding the Mind, the Believer's Guide to Mental Health. We've come to Roman numeral 5, praying for wisdom. I'm going to read verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Our Father, we're thankful for the praise. Your presence reminds us you're worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise. We did not want to render to you this morning that which cost us nothing. So we're thankful for the rehearsal. We're thankful for the time. All that has gone into the singing, songs and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making a melody in our heart unto the Lord. We ask that our worship would continue, that we would worship you not with our will, but thy will be done. We would be remiss to not thank you for how you've brought our family back from Panama. So much going on, planes and ships and quarantines, and yet you kept the family safe. And we're thankful. We pray for your healing upon our country and our world. Work your purpose out. Whatever you're doing, we know it's always right. May your word serve as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And as always, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart may be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are my strength, my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We began looking at the mind of God, an impossible venture that we're on, for God is infinite, and because of that, there will be no searching out of this mind of God. Yet God has made himself knowable, and we're thankful for his revelation to us. He made us in his image. We see in Adam and Eve tremendous intellectual power. God gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living creature. God gave Adam the opportunity to name all of the creatures. And so he and Eve both have this great, tremendous intellect. You and I have residuals of that, though it's been impacted by sin. And the greatest thing that God created us in his image is so that we could know him personally. All that was impacted by sin. And so we have become the personification of our thoughts. We looked at Proverbs that talks about that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever my meditations are, whatever I'm spending my time thinking the most about, that's what I'm going to become. And so we talked about transformative thinking and how I need to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so if I'm going to transform my mind, the highest thoughts that I can have are thoughts about God. In fact, the chief science has always been theology. But what has happened, though, over the years is that science, knowledge that has an object. Because we don't see God, that is, he is invisible, some have rejected theology as a science because there's no object. But the Bible makes it clear that when you and I look around in creation and we see this wonderful design in nature, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so you and I must then retain God in the knowledge. If that's the chief, if that's the highest thoughts that we can have, we need to meditate upon him and rehearse his attributes and practice his presence. Because as we saw in Romans, when they failed to retain God in the knowledge, there was a downward spiral into depravity. It has been proven historically that no civilization has ever, ever been able to rise above its belief in God. And just like the United States, we're going to see a downward spiral into depravity if we continue to try to push God out of our thoughts and push God out of our minds and push God out and act as if we don't need him. We can get along, as evolution says, without God. And so since then, that's my highest thoughts. What I need to be doing then is to be praying for wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom simply would be how that information is used. It's one thing to be smart. It's another thing to be wise. Knowledge says that I have an accumulation of information. Wisdom shows me if I'm able to utilize that knowledge. Isaiah writes to us and tells us that in 55 that God says that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, that my ways are higher than your ways. As the heaven is high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Earth and heaven, then God gives us a metaphor for us to put into practice to remind ourselves that wisdom then is seeing things from God's perspective. I asked the question, how do you see the parade? My children were, all three of them were in the band, Kalamazoo Central Band, marching band, under the direction of a man named Mr. Drummer. And the band was very exceptional that year. Got a lot of opportunities. I remember they were in the Holland's annual Tulip Festival. And here was a parade, and the band was able to come, and so we have Kevin and Jennifer and Jeffrey in the band, and they're marching in the Tulip. And so my wife and I were there, and you see your kids and you're just waiting. You got up early, you got dressed, you want to support, and then you come to this parade and you're standing there, and then all of a sudden you're waiting. You know your kids are coming. They're on the way. You can hear them. Dr. Payton marching in front of the marching band. We saw him. And then you see the band coming, and you're looking for your own individual kids. And then all of a sudden they go by, and then they're gone. Some of us will embarrass the kids. We keep running down the line because we want to see them again. And then we keep running because we want to see them again. But the reality is we can only see that portion of the parade that is passing us by at that time. But if I was in a helicopter high enough, I could see the whole parade. And so when you and I think about God is higher in his thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. He sees the parade of life from the beginning to the end. I can only see the portion of the parade of life that is passing me by at the time. And so therefore then I need to reflect upon my life and realize how much emotional stress, how much mental stress, how much mental anxiety have I brought to my life through my decisions and choices that I have made without God? My relationships, decisions and choices perhaps, and you did not even ask God for guidance and direction. You chose who your children's father was going to be, the mother was going to be, perhaps without even considering God at all. Our finances, we are not talking with God and seeking his wisdom. And so decisions made without God and not seeking his thoughts and his ways. I need then to put this in perspective, that for the rest of my time, I want a worldview that sees life from God's perspective. That is what wisdom is. I will always then have the highest thoughts on every matter. I will always have the highest ways on every matter, because it is the wisdom that is from above. But a lot of our anxieties, a lot of mine and your mental distress comes from the decisions that I have made, the decisions that you have made. And God wants us to pray for wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse number 5, we find that Solomon is sleeping in a dream. The Lord is going to appear before Solomon. In Gibeon, verse 5 says, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Now we need to understand what the context is here. He says, I am a child. I don't know how to go out and how to come in for so great a people. I want you to come with me to the book of Numbers for a minute. And I want you to see, these are the words of leadership. I don't care if you're the pastor, if you're a father, a mother, or your husband or wife, whatever, if you're on your job, these are the key words for leadership. How to be able to go out and how to be able to come in. The book of Numbers, chapter 27. Starting at verse 15. Just to see the seriousness of what Solomon is praying about. Numbers 27:15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Moses is helping us to understand so that in context what Solomon is saying is, I am a little child. I don't even know how to lead the people out and how to bring the people in, and yet I find myself as king for such a great people. What does he have in his mind? Remember that in his history, he has Abraham, who was led out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he just went because God said go. He has Isaac, who was sacrificed or offered for sacrifice by his father in his history. He has Jacob, who wrestled with an angel. He has in his history Joseph, who was in charge, second in command in Egypt. He has Moses, who led the people out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea into the wilderness, headed for 40 years into the land of Canaan. He has Joshua in his history. The people cross dry ground again and cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. He has Samuel, who was called as a child and obeyed. He has his father David, who was a mighty warrior and would never go to war without first asking God for wisdom, shall I go up to fight or not? All that is in his mind, and here he finds himself as a little child, and therefore he does not have the wisdom to be able to do the task that God has set before him. I don't have the wisdom, I'm a child. When I'm a child, I think like a child, Paul says. I understand as a child. You think about the awesomeness of leadership, that God has called men and women of clay, that here we are dust, we are finite, we are filled with sensualities, as Elijah says. The humanness of leadership. And yet God calls. For 24 years, Pastor Butler led this church. A flawed man, a man made of clay, a man made of dust. And yet he was called of God and took the oversight of Bible Baptist Church for 24 years. 24 years. Then there was a year that God needed to show the church that though they had a pastor for 24 years, that this is just a servant, that the church belongs to God. It's his church. And so for 1 year, the church was without a pastor. The church continued on for 1 year. And then God led my family here, and we've been here for 27 years. God has led the church through my leadership for 27 years. A flawed person made of clay, made of dust, yet a servant of God that God calls, God gives the oversight, and he says, take it. And so I take it by the grace of God. That's what I do. It's objectionable, though. You get a chance to look. You see the strengths. You see the weaknesses. And you have the opportunity to often tell me that. Praise God for that process, right? But you are also objectionable. How many times do you look at yourself? and say, what part do I play in all of this as well? Pastor resigned with a lot of issues. Okay. Because the leadership is flawed. Christ is the measure of the stature. You're just the man, the instrument, who's called to give direction. But God is the shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd. But he calls men to lead. And we take it. Then another 27 years. Someone said to me often, they said one time, they said, you know, Pastor Lavender, I noticed that we haven't had a baptism in months. So I thought about that. I take some responsibility for that. But then I turned around and said, how many people have you led to Christ? It's not just on me, it's the congregation as well. That we all take responsibility for what's going on. It's not just the leader. But we understand here that it is that leadership that is flawed. He says, I am a child. I don't know how to do this. I don't have any experience whatsoever. These people are great. They're your people. We know the history. And so what does he do? He asks for wisdom. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? That is the key to the whole point, that we ask God for wisdom because I don't know. He knows. I'm a child. I'm inexperienced. And I need your wisdom. Perhaps you're facing and you're getting ready to get married. You're contemplating that. There's a new marriage and you've never been married. So now I don't know. I don't have experience. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have your first child, first time, and never had a child before. So I don't know. That's a feeling of lack of wisdom and not understanding. I remember when my son was born, I was so thankful to have that Mary and I had my mother and my mother-in-law. You know, they were old school. They really told us that too. Can't go out for 6 weeks and, you know, the whole thing, and baby got colic, and they're telling us all of these things that we didn't know. Maybe you're caring for your parents today. It's come upon you. We have the honor of caring for our mom. Some of you are caring for your parents. Some of you will be caring for your parents. And this is new territory. You've never been here before. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the understanding. Maybe your grandparents, you planned your life, you've raised your kids, and now you're faced with raising your grandchildren now. New ground for you. You've never been at this particular juncture before. And so it's new. You don't have the wisdom. You don't have the knowledge. Maybe you've just been thrust into a new position at work. And now you're in charge. You're the manager. You've never had this position before. You don't know what to do. You don't understand what's going on. But somehow, through God's sovereignty, here you are. Maybe you're a young person. You're getting ready for the first time. You're leaving the house for the first time. You're getting ready to go off to school. You see, you're going to college. You've been complaining about the bills. You hear your parents complain about the bills. And now you're going to be on your own for the first time, you see. You get out there, you wish you could go back home. I'm still trying to get back home. I said, boy, I left too early. Man, I didn't know it was like that. I didn't know about paying these utility bills and things like that. So now here you are. You find yourself, you're leaving, you're going off to college. Maybe you're going to the military. I can't wait to have the Anderson's daughter back. Here she is, a female going into the Marine Corps. Wow. I want to hear her when she get back. First time. Never before. Maybe you've been severed from your job and you find yourself now in a space. Wow. Wasn't expecting that. But now all of a sudden, I was severed. And I'm in this space now. Never been here before. Maybe I just retired. Oh, I've been so used to getting the regular pays, and now it's going to be regular, but it's not going to be the same. Never retired before, though. Maybe I'm getting ready to relocate. Going into a new place I've never been before. Our daughter decided that she wants to try. She wants to be able to go. Don't know anybody. I want to go. So where are you going? I'm going to Minnesota. Okay. She's planning on returning, but she's been gone for 2 years. Thank you, Deacon, for checking on her yesterday. 2 years in Minnesota. So she called, Dad, I thought the snow in Michigan was bad. It's a new level of cold out here in Minnesota. But you go to a new place you've never been before. Maybe now you just got information about sickness. You don't know. We're seeing a reaction from people who don't really know the coronavirus. So now we can't find toilet paper. You see, everybody bleach. Now they're saying that with a little vodka and aloe vera, you can make your own antiseptic. So if I see you at the liquor store, don't be judging me. The pastor, what you doing in here? What you doing in here? But we don't know. Something new, right? We're seeing family death comes upon us. We don't know. Often we've never been in these places before. And so what do we learn? We learn that when Solomon says, I am young. In other words, I don't have the experience. I don't know what it is to lead so great a people out and to bring them in. I don't know. So I am asking you, God, to give me the wisdom. Give me the knowledge. I'm tired of going down dead end streets. I'm tired of living out stress and anxiety from making these decisions and choices without you. It's a beautiful story, a lesson from Joshua who obeyed the Lord, but he comes face with the Gibeonites and they are in the land and the Lord tells them, don't give your sons to their daughters. Don't give your daughters to their sons. They will not follow your God. You're going to follow their God. So these Gibeonites, they live right around the corner. But they want to deceive Joshua. So what do? They put on old clothes. They put on old shoes. They take molded bread and they come to Joshua and they say, Joshua, see, we're not the people in the land. We come from a far place. You see, look at our clothes. We put these clothes new on when we left the house. Look at our shoes. These shoes was new when we put them on. Look at this bread. It was fresh when we took it out of the oven. So Joshua and the elders look at the clothes. They look at the shoes and they looked at the bread and they made a league with the people who live right around the corner. And it says, because they failed to seek the counsel of the Lord. Oh, you get some people from afar that come back in your life. You don't know if these clothes was old when they put them on or did they get old on the way. You don't know if they was old when they put the shoes on or did they get old in the journey. Was the bread really fresh or did you trying to give me some molded bread that you had already? He said, because of that, I need to ask counsel of the Lord. Joshua brought unnecessary stress on the people of Israel simply because he didn't ask God's counsel. Aren't you tired of making decisions that you keep ending up on a dead end? Aren't you tired of making decisions that are causing your life so much mental stress? God says that you and I can have the Solomon experience every time. All we have to do is do what he did and ask God for it. Look at the book of James as we bring this to a close. The book of James chapter 1. The context is with trials. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So what God is saying in the context is that the trials of life need to be looked at with joy. Why? Because God is doing something with it. I may not know what he's doing, but he's doing something. And even if I don't understand, even if it doesn't make sense, doesn't mean that there's no sense to it. That God has a purpose for everything that he does in our life. And so if I don't know, he says, I can ask him for wisdom. Is he going to tell me everything? No. But he'll sure help me see this trial from his perspective. And I'll get to the point of Jeremiah that I may not know all the plans that you have for me, but I can settle with the fact that you know the plans you have for me. Amen. I may not know what the plan is, but wisdom says you know what the plan is. So though I don't have all the details of what you're doing in my life, I can be thankful for it. I can have joy in it. I can have wisdom knowing that you know what you're doing. You know the plan. So I'm resting in the fact that you say, I know the plans I have for you. Now he's talking to Israel in the context, but we can apply that to our life in the sense that he knows what he's doing in my life. I'm also thankful that he's given me the written word of God. And that I can see his moral wisdom every single day. The problem is, I don't seek it. You and I know that one of the things that we don't like, we used to like, is that when something comes to our home in a box, what's inside is a manual. We don't like to read the manual. Because there's something about the manual that says, they don't think I know what I'm doing. Right? So we don't read the manual. That's why clock's going off. We didn't know what to do today. We got in our car. It says 11:18 up here. We don't know what to do. Because all we do is plug it in, boom! We never read the manual. Put things together. We say, these 20 screws that's left, they're just messing with me. They gave me more screws than I needed. I know my child's bike can only go left, but that's just how it is. But if you read the manual has a number. If you've run into trouble, call me. We got a hotline. We will help you through any problem that you have. Our problem is we don't read the manual. Because if we read the manual, you will find that the Creator says, call on me and I will answer and I will show you great things that you don't even know. But we don't read it. So we make decisions that cause undue stress in my mind, in my emotions, because as Joshua, I fail to seek God's counsel in my decisions. Bible Baptist Church, let's all have this Solomon experience where we are seeking God for the future of our congregation, for our church. Whether we have 1 week left, 1 year left, however we have left, we want to be wise in Bible Baptist Church. I want you to be wise. I want to be wise. I want my family to be wise. I want the families to be wise. I want us to get to the place where we're making better decisions and better choices, that we are getting further along down the road, that we keep running, stop running in the dead end streets, that going nowhere. We need to seek the mind of the Lord. Because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As heaven is higher above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My ways higher than your ways. This is wisdom, seeing things from God's perspective. How do you see the parade? Oh, I want to see it from God's perspective. He sees the beginning and he sees the end of it. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Solomon. Though you gave him wealth and riches, and that's not what he asked for. He knew the history of the great people Israel. He knew the leadership that had gone before him. He'd heard the stories of his dad. Though he lapsed in sin, yet he was a successful warrior. But he also knew the oral traditions, that he got to the success because he wouldn't go to battle without first asking you if he should go. And so now as a child, never at one time has he ever led anybody anywhere at any time. And yet he's called now to lead the people out, to bring the people in, to be their shepherd, so that they're not scattering about as sheep who are lost. What does he do? He prays, and he asks you for wisdom, to give him an understanding heart, that he might be able to discern good and bad, that he might be able to judge the people correctly. And so I'm praying, Father, this morning. I'm praying for wisdom in marriage. I'm praying for wisdom in parenting. And I'm praying for wisdom for new college students and those who may be leaving and relocating, and those who find themselves severed from their job, those who are facing retirement now for the first time, when we just don't know. We don't have the experience. We don't understand. I'm praying for that person who's now the manager. They're now the boss on the job. They have to lead a team of people. There's anxiety, mental stress, and in not knowing. And so we all pray for wisdom for our families. And I want to make better decisions. We want to make better decisions. You've got us to 52 years. We don't know how long we have. But for the rest of the time, help us to be a praying church. A church where families are coming together to seek your counsel, to seek your will. Help us not just to make decisions, but at least to acknowledge you. And you've promised to direct our pathway. So bless your word. Help us to apply it to our life for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.